Welcome to Harmonia. I'm Angela Mariani. For many years, scholars believed that the so-called Medici Codex was compiled as a present for Lorenzo de' Medici, Duke of Urbino, and the French noblewoman Madeleine de la Tour d'Auvergne, who married in France in the year 1518. But the story is not that simple. This hour, we'll explore the history of this manuscript and bathe our ears in some of the most beautiful polyphony of the Renaissance. Plus, music for clarinet by Johannes Brahms, played on historical instruments by Marie Ross, Petra Somlai, and Claire-Lise Demetre, from a new release of Brahms' clarinet sonatas and trio on the Centaur label.
Thank you.
The Rutgers Collegium Musicum, directed by Andrew Kirkman, sang Jean Moutons Exalta Regina Galliae and Jean Richefort's Veni Sponsor Christi from their 2012 Centaur CD, A Renaissance Wedding Gift, music from the Medici Codex of 1518. This beautiful music manuscript is the topic of our musical exploration this hour on Harmonia. A library in Florence, Italy, the Biblioteca Medicea Laurenziana, is the home of a handsome manuscript of music that we know today as the Medici Codex. For many years, it was thought to have been conceived and executed for the wedding of Lorenzo de' Medici, Duke of Urbino, and the French noblewoman Madeleine de la Tour d'Auvergne, which was held in France in May of 1518. Its index takes the form of an acrostic bearing an inscription to Lorenzo, and the first opening of the book displays heraldic symbols of both the Medici family and Madeleine. But the Medici Codex was not created specifically for this wedding event. In fact, strong evidence suggests that the Medici Codex was originally prepared for Lorenzo's uncle, who reigned as Pope Leo X from 1513 to 1521. The contents and the order were then customized to suit it to the happy couple, and the manuscript was presented to them, maybe by Leo himself, on their triumphant return to Florence on September 8, 1518, by which time word of Madeleine's pregnancy had circulated in Rome. Adrian Villert, the second best represented composer in the Medici Codex, wrote the piece that begins the collection, a motet, Virgo Gloriosa, that includes a prayer to St. Margaret, the patron saint of childbirth.
Thank you.
we heard Capella Pratensis with director Joshua Rifkin performing Adrian Villert's Virgo Gloriosa Christi from their 2010 Challenge Classic CD Vivat Leo, Music for a Medici Pope. The papal court was eager for every word of Madeline's condition. According to one writer, word of Madeline's pregnancy circulated in Rome as early as June. This news could well have set in motion the rather hurried production of the manuscript's later editions. Let's hear another Villert motet performed by the same ensemble, this one giving us a musical gloss on the well-known words of the angel Gabriel, "Hail Mary, full of grace," which we hear complete in the first part of the motet at the words Ave Maria Gratia Plena.
Thank you.
Adrian Villard's motet Salutate Sancto Virgo was sung by Capella Pratensis on their 2010 Challenge Classic CD Vivat Leo, Music for a Medici Pope. Leo X staffed the papal choir with some of the most eminent singers and composers of his day, and he also maintained a private cadre of musicians that included several highly prized singers, composers, and instrumentalists. And his awareness of musical developments extended well beyond Rome. He particularly admired the French royal chapel master Jean Mouton, the most influential composer of the day. Leo met Mouton in 1515 and named him to a highly honorific church position. 10 of the 53 motets in the manuscript are by Mouton, more than any other composer, and it's even been proposed that Mouton was the editor of the codex. Here's one of the motets. Balance, poise, melodic elegance, no wonder Leo thought so highly of Mouton. Once again, that was Capella Pratensis, this time performing Jean Mouton's Exalta Regina Galliae on their 2010 CD Vivat Leo, Music for a Medici Pope from Challenge Classics. The Medici Codex comprises the work of 21 composers. Some of their names will be familiar to the dedicated Harmonia listener, others perhaps less familiar. One of the latter group, Pierre Molu, is a composer about whom little is known, but he was associated with the French Royal Chapel at the same time as Mouton. We'll hear a motet that is what we call an unicum, that is, it appears only in the Medici Codex, nowhere else. Its first section names leading international musicians of the day, Dufay, Agricola, Obrecht, and more. The second section concentrates on French chapel musicians, mostly minor figures apart from Jean Mouton, and a mysterious mention of Heinrich Isaac, who has no known connection with the Paris court. That was the Brabant Ensemble, Stephen Rice conductor, singing Pierre Molu's Mater Floriat on their Hyperion CD from 2010, entitled Missa Alma Redemptoris Mater, Missa Missus Est Gabriel Angelus. You're listening to Harmonia. I'm Angela Mariani. Welcome back. We're listening to music from the 16th century Medici Codex. A composer of several pieces in the Medici Codex, Andreas de Silva, who despite his Latinized name was pretty surely a Frenchman, also remains an elusive figure. We catch sight of him in August 1514, passing through Ferrara. His association with Leo clearly began not very long after that, but there's no trace of him in Vatican records until 1519, when we find him as one of Leo's private singers and as singer and composer in the papal chapel. The five-voice Omnis Pulchritudo Domini, built around a Gregorian melody for the Feast of the Ascension, shows Andreas at the top of his form and illustrates well why Leo must have appreciated him. Listen, for instance, to the way he matches his harmonic palette to the meaning of the text. The final words of the piece, which translate as God is gone up with a shout and the Lord with the sound of the trumpet, are set in what we today would describe as major key sonorities.
Thank you.
Joshua Rifkin directed the Capella Pratensis in Andreas de Silva's Omnis Pulchritudo Domini, once again from their 2010 Channel Classics CD, Vivat Leo. De Silva may not be that well-known a composer, but he writes swirling gestures with a rhythmic sweep that few composers of his time can match. As we mentioned earlier, the Medici Codex seems to have been rather hurriedly reconstructed as a wedding present. There are two scribes associated with the manuscript, whose alternation follows no particular order, and the decoration of the codex ranges from lavish to rather drab. Similarly, though the manuscript is divided into four-part pieces and five-part pieces, they show no correlation with the index, which was arranged as an acrostic, and 8 of the 51 pieces don't appear in the acrostic at all. Yet, two adjacent groups of pieces follow the acrostic exactly. Such a lack of regularity in appearance and physical structure isn't what one would expect in a carefully planned book. There's only one use of gold ink in the whole book. This suggests that the original intention was to begin the manuscript with Jacques Cantepre's Inviolata Integra et Casta Es, which appears about two-thirds of the way through the current manuscript and sports the gold ink. Here, of course, we're talking about a masterwork of a master composer, Josquin, perhaps the most well-known today of the papal singer-composers of the late 15th and early 16th century. Two-thirds of the way into the manuscript, most famous composer. I'm tempted to think that the gold ink, usually used at the beginning, may here represent the golden ratio.
Thank you.
From the CD Motets by Benoît Josquin and Gombert, a 1991 Titanic release, that was Capella Alamire, directed by Peter Urquhart, singing Josquin's Inviolata, Integra et Casta Es, a five-voice motet begging for forgiveness from Mary, the shining gate of heaven, kind mother, dearest to Christ. We'll end our exploration of the Medici Codex with another stunning five-voice motet by Josquin. This one also found elsewhere, including a publication from 1545, long after Josquin's death. Nymphe de Bois, or Bois in modern French, is the only motet in the collection that's not in Latin. It's also the only one to be notated in solid black notes, for it's a lament mourning the death of Josquin's good father, Johannes Ockeghem, quote, the true treasurer of music and master, learned, handsome, and by no means stout. As in the Molu motet we heard earlier, other famous composers of the day are mentioned by name, in this case Josquin himself, Brumel, Compère, and possibly Pierre de la Rue. A second simultaneous text says, eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them, a chant drawn from the Latin Requiem Mass. the Ensemble Clément Jeannequin performed Josquin's motet Nymphe des Bois on their 1988 Harmonia Mundi CD Adieu mes amours et autres chansons. We turn now to our featured release of the week, a recording of music of Johannes Brahms. You might be asking yourself, wait, I thought this was an early music program. The term early music usually indicating repertoire associated with the medieval, Renaissance, and Baroque periods. But many of us, quote, early music performers, actually prefer to use the term historical performance. The study of the techniques, instruments, and performance contexts of earlier music is in many ways more about process than about specific repertoire, and many practitioners of historical performance have expanded their repertoire into the 19th century and beyond. In the case of this CD, entitled simply Johannes Brahms, Clarinet Sonatas and Trio, clarinetist Marie Ross, pianist Petra Somlai, and cellist Claire-Lise Demetre perform the music of Brahms on historical instruments. We're told in the CD notes that the two clarinets played by Marie Ross were made in the 1890s and in 1905 by a maker named Oskar Uhler, the latter for a player who had been in the same orchestra as Richard Mühlfeld, who had been Brahms' favorite clarinetist, and for whom these chamber pieces were written. The cello's gut strings and bridge construction are characteristic of the practice of the time, and the piano is an 1875 Steinway, the type of piano that Brahms used to specifically request when doing concert tours in that time period. Andante Grazioso from Johannes Brahms' 1891 Trio for Clarinet, Cello, and Piano, Opus 114, played by clarinetist Marie Ross, pianist Petra Somlai, and cellist Claire-Lise Demetre from a 2018 CD on the Centaur label.
Thank you.
Johannes Brahms' Trio for Clarinet, Cello, and Piano, Opus 114, played on historical instruments by clarinetist Marie Ross, pianist Petra Somlai, and cellist Claire-Lise Demetre, from a 2018 Centaur CD called Johannes Brahms' Clarinet Sonatas and Trio, performed on historical instruments. Harmonia is a production of WFIU. Support comes from Early Music America, which strengthens and celebrates early music by supporting the people and organizations that perform, study, and find joy in it. On the web at earlymusicamerica.org. Additional resources come from the William and Gail Cook Music Library at the Indiana University Jacobs School of Music. We welcome your thoughts about any part of this program or about early music in general. Contact us at harmoniaearlymusic.org. The writer for this edition of Harmonia was Wendy Gillespie. Thanks to our studio engineer Michael Pashkash and our production team, Wendy Gillespie, Elizabeth Clark, Luann Johnson, and John Bailey. I'm Angela Mariani, inviting you to join us again for the next edition of Harmonia.